Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity gathered together in your presence. We give you glory and honor, Lord, as we come together to for fellowship. We know that our fellowship, not only with one another, but also with you. And we declare, as our manner is, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be, even today, in Jesus' name. Open our ears, Lord, that we may hear what the Spirit is saying. Anoint our eyes with also to see wondrous things out of the word of God. And give understanding to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's follow up on the lessons we have done so far on the kingdom concepts. And today I want to pick up on one or two things. Remember, we were talking yesterday and the other day about the keys of the kingdom and understanding what the keys mean and what they do. You must have understanding of, if you possess a key, what lock it opens. Otherwise, it's of no value at all. You have a key, but you don't know what lock it opens. Well, that key is of no value whatsoever. And so there are a lot of keys, which we also call the ordinances of heaven. And if you know how to use it, well, God asked Job, do you know how to use the ordinances of heaven? Can you make them, can you set the dominion thereof in the earth? He couldn't answer the Lord one word or the other. However, Jesus told Peter, because of the revelation that the Father gave you of who I am, I will give you the keys to the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And you will be able to lock and unlock, bind and loose, and whatever you do with those keys, heaven will sanction. Praise the Lord. So, you know, those keys can be really, really powerful. And yesterday we talked about seeking to understand, you know, and that, you know, the Lord, though he may hide things, according to Proverbs 25 verse 2, he said, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out the matter. Yeah. And God has made us kings, so we got to search these things out. And the Lord promised us, we alluded to this at the end of the lesson yesterday, so here's where I'm picking up. I have not spoken in secret, the Lord said, Isaiah 45 verse 19, in a dark place of the earth. And I said not unto the seed of Jacob that you should seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, and I do that which is right. I declare things which is right. So the Lord has told us that when we seek him, we know. He said, you shall find me when you shall seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29 and 13. And many other scriptures encourage us to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Jesus himself said in Matthew 6 and 33, you know, which we were talking about, you know, the things of the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things that, you know, we tend to focus on, these things will be added to you automatically when you make your focus and your pursuit the things of God. Now today, you know, I want to go a little deeper into the kingdom. Now that we know how to get into the kingdom of God, you know, we've talked about that. You know, Jesus said, well, except a man be born again, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He told that to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 3. So now that we are born again, we have entered into the kingdom. Well, we also learned that, you know, the death of a testator is necessary for the opening of the testament or the will. Well, now that Jesus has died, we're told that by the means of death, you know, not only did he bring redemption to those transgressions that were under the law, But he has also given us an opportunity for us to inherit, you know, that which was prepared for us before the world began. So we covered all those things. Now, let's talk about some of that inheritance today. Now, as a citizen of a kingdom, you have some benefits, you know. Now, well, unless that kingdom is really in darkness, but typically a kingdom has special benefits for their citizens. And, you know, I know here in the United States, there are certain rights that citizens have that non-citizens may not have, and certain things, even facilities, are available only to citizens. The right to do certain things, you know, may be available only to citizens, and so on and so forth. Well, you know, when you come into the kingdom of God, you know, through the new birth, you also become a citizen of the government of heaven. And of the, you know, and because you're now the citizen of the government of heaven, you're part of the Commonwealth of Israel now, you are entitled to many things. Praise the Lord. Yeah. By your being a citizen. Just by being a citizen. Entitled to many things. Right. You know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, we're told that when you come in, I mean, you might have been Gentiles at one time, you know, but once you come into the kingdom, well, you know, it's a new story. Things are different and things are changed. In time past, you were without Christ, he said. You were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel or the Kingdom of Heaven. You are strangers from the covenants of promise. You have no hope. You know, you are without God in the world. I mean, that was then, but this is now. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes afar off are now made near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. So, now, well, let's talk about, you know, if you are now in Christ, well, what things, you know, belong to our peace and so forth. You know, what are your rights? Well, we understand that as a citizen of the kingdom, you have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and from the power of Satan to the power of God. I mean, this is how God brings us into the kingdom. You cannot really be brought into the kingdom if you remain in darkness. God must break the power of that darkness first. You know, we learned, you know, in the book of Colossians, you know, we learned that, you know, the Lord has, you know, taken us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I mean, these are, and in this process of transferring us from darkness to light, Colossians 1:13, this process is important. It's important for us to understand that we're no longer under darkness. We're now in the light. He said, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, according to Colossians 1:13, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You know, so darkness, the power of darkness is on one side, the kingdom of his dear son is on the other side. Well, God yanked us from the power of darkness. That's delivered, means yanking us from there. And now he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Isn't that beautiful? And God was explaining even the process of salvation and how to understand how to preach the real gospel, you know, to Paul. And Paul was describing it in the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Let's look at this. This is fundamental to what I want to bring out today, because when you are in darkness, you have no access to light. But once the light comes, then the darkness is gone. And we must stay in the dark. I mean, we must not stay in the dark, but we must rejoice in the light. In the book of Acts 26, we see Paul was narrating his experience with the Lord, how the Lord encountered him on the road to Damascus when he was about to go and, you know, get more letters to call these disciples to prison and so on. "Saul, Saul," Jesus said, "why persecutest thou me?" You know, and he was narrating this, encounter, you know. So this was when he was before King Agrippa. So he said to him, "Well, the Lord told me, I am Jesus." When Saul said, "Well, who are thou, Lord?" So the Lord said, "Well, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against and preach." He said, "But now arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." There's always a purpose for which, you know, we come into the kingdom. Every one of us has a purpose. You know, we're not just living a purposeless life. You know, said, "Well, I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make thee," in this particular case, "make thee a minister and a witness." Yeah, the Bible says we are all able ministers of the New Testament. "Make you a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of the things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send you." Now, listen to the process. To open their eyes, that's number one. Number two, to turn them from darkness to light, just like we were talking about God yanking us from the kingdom of darkness and translating us into, power of darkness, from power of darkness, translating us to the kingdom of his dear son. Well, the Lord told him, you got to open their eyes. You got to turn them from the power of darkness to light. And you got to turn them from the power of Satan to God. You know, all these things must happen so that they can receive forgiveness of sins. Because Satan keeps people bound. Doesn't want them to know that Christ has made provision for the forgiveness of their sins. But once you can get that message across to them, then they can come into the inheritance. Now, what is this inheritance? Well, we talked about it. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. He said, "This is the inheritance, which is the kingdom." Enter into your inheritance, which is the kingdom that was prepared for you even before the world began. And we read that also, you know, in Hebrews chapter 9, talking about the inheritance that we get after we experience the redemption that Christ brings to us through his death. Now, let me read this to you again. He said, "There is of necessity the need for the death of a testator." You know that he said, "For a testament is of force only after men are dead." Now, for this cause also, Christ is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, right, he might, you know, bring redemption to those people who are in bondage of transgressions under the law, and that bring us to a place where we might inherit the promise of that eternal inheritance, which is what? The kingdom prepared for us before the world began. So now that we know all of that, let's look at some of the benefits of that kingdom. If we are now in that kingdom, say if you are born again, you are in the kingdom, or you cannot enter the kingdom until you are born again. So when you are born again, you are in the kingdom. I mean, so we don't need to wait to get to heaven, quote unquote, before we experience the benefits of the kingdom. Because once you are born again, you have entered the kingdom. And if you have entered the kingdom, there are benefits. As a citizen of the kingdom, you have benefits. In fact, you have rights. Praise the Lord. If you carry the passport of the United States, you know, you have certain rights and certain, and that passport, by the way, is not available to non-citizens. You know, it's only available to the citizens of the United States. And that's the same for every other kingdom or government and so forth. You know, the document that is called passport is actually a property of that kingdom or that country. It's written in the passport as such. But when you carry it, well, you know, whoever looks at that passport in your hand, you know, they are enjoined to offer you, you know, the rights and privileges of a U.S. citizen, you know. But, you know, if you lose your passport, well, you have no identity, you know. So now let me read something to you from the passport of the United States. It says, the Secretary of State of the United States of America hereby requests all whom it may concern to permit the citizen or national of the United States named herein to pass without delay or hindrance, and in case of need to give all lawful aid and protection. Well, you know, this is some of the benefits you have even when you go someplace else, let alone when you are on your own country. Well, let's talk about when we are in our own country as a citizen of a kingdom. You know, we're told in Hebrews chapter 11 that there were some people who learned about this thing, and they were looking for a city that was not built by, you know, human beings, but they were continuing in their pursuit. Well, they couldn't quite get there, but they believed God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God that was being predicted as being near, being preached, that was being near in the days of John the Baptist, days of Jesus, the days of his disciples, that they were saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. The kingdom of God is no longer at hand. It's already here. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus had delivered the kingdom. He's got it. You know, but there are certain things that we must understand. You know, the kingdom of God is both spiritual and physical. And, you know, sometimes we get confused and we forget to enforce the rights that we have because we think that we're not in the kingdom of God. And so we'll get there when we get to heaven. Well, by the time you get to heaven, you're not going to need some of these principles and ordinances that we're going to talk about today. Because you are, you know, when you're in heaven, for instance, in heaven, you won't need any healing. Right here on earth is where you need healing. And there are many promises that God has given us, which are benefits that we have when you're in the kingdom. As a citizen, you know, you are entitled to many things. Luke chapter 12, verse 32 tells us, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you, well, Jesus said to give you the kingdom, but I say, he give you the kingdom and the package that comes with the kingdom. I mean, what does it mean to give you the kingdom? Well, it's the benefits of the kingdom. That's what you get, you know. And basically, that means all the promises of God in the Bible are yours. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says that there are many such promises. In fact, God gives us those promises to enrich us to become like Him. We're given here, say, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, which are available only to those who are in the kingdom, you might become partakers of the divine nature. That means, you know, if you understand how to unlock, you know, He's giving you some keys, you know, but you got to know what to do with the keys. But once you understand that, it can actually begin to change you into the divine nature. You become more like God, basically. That's divine nature. Be like God. Hallelujah. You know, so now let's read some of the things that Jesus has purchased for us. Now, number one, in the natural sphere of things, people can become a citizen by either birth or naturalization. I mean, there's a story in Acts chapter 22 where Paul was engaged in a discussion. Let's read it. And this thing highlights the difference between being freeborn and, you know, and paying for it. So in this story, you know, Paul was always getting into trouble with the crowd. They were always doing one thing or the other. You know, so when they were in this particular instance, you know, a lot of people were making a lot of noise, you know, about Paul and so on and so forth. You know, so the chief captain, the Roman army there that was present at the time, went there, grabbed him and brought him into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof these people are crying out so against him. This is Acts chapter 22 and verse 22. And after they had bound him and so forth, Paul said to the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" You know, now Paul, this man was very shrewd. He knew what buttons to press. You know, in fact, one time, you know, when he saw that Pharisees and Sadducees were all crying out against him, and it was all about, you know, everybody wanting to get rid of him, so he leveraged the difference between the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, "Well, you know, I believe in the resurrection." And all of a sudden, all the Pharisees supported him. Because the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. They believed in all that kind of stuff. Sadducees, they don't care for that stuff. So, and he would say, "Well, you know, I'm being judged because of the hope of the resurrection." Then all of a sudden, the Pharisees said, "Well, we don't see anything wrong with this man." So Paul was very shrewd like that. So now in this case, he said to this man, "I am a Roman citizen." He wasn't lying. He said, "Hey, be careful now." And so somebody went and told the captain, said, "You better be careful what you do to this man. He is a Roman citizen." Now, I told you before, if you followed our lessons, that the model of the Roman kingdom was not to carry anybody away in captivity. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecian, and all those people, they did that. They would come into the place, carry the people away captive. That's how Daniel, you know, Nehemiah, Ezra, Esther, all of them are carried away captive. Because that was the model in those days. Now, when the Roman kingdom came into play, they did not carry anybody away captive. Instead, they brought their own culture and installed it in the place. They brought their own governor. They brought their own chief captain and their own army. And they wanted people to make obeisance to Caesar and to serve Caesar even in their land. And if you talked about another king, That was treason. So it was treason when some people came and said, we've seen the star of him that was born, king of the Jews. That was treason. Because there was to be only one king, and he was Caesar. So Herod said, kill them all. There can be no other king. It's Caesar. But you see, they brought their culture to impose upon the land. They didn't carry them away captive. You know, so Jesus came at such a time. Isn't it interesting that Jesus came during that time rather than during the time when they used to carry people away captive? So that model was kind of, you know, fit in line with what Jesus wanted, although the Roman Empire was wicked, we know that. But the model of don't carry them away to heaven or carry them away to your home country, but install your culture in them, that was something that Jesus also said. He made this prayer in John 17, verse 15, and said, Father, I pray not that you should carry them away to heaven, but that you should keep them on the earth, but protect them. They've got a job to do here. So, understanding that, well, somehow, Paul became a Roman citizen because his parents were Roman citizens. So he was born as a Roman citizen. You know, there are some countries till today, you know, even in the United States, well, you know, somebody is trying to change the laws, but in the United States, you know, if your parents are citizens, you're born or born in the land, then you're also a citizen. You know, so we see these things even in this discussion. So this man came and asked Paul, once he heard that he was a Roman, he said to Paul, the chief captain came. Listen to this, verse 27 of Acts 22. Asked him, tell me, art thou a Roman? Because you don't mess with those Roman citizens. You know? And the chief captain asked him, and Paul said, yeah. He said, well, I have purchased this with a great price. He was naturalized, he himself. That chief captain, he was not freeborn, was naturalized. You know, he said, but Paul said, well, but I was freeborn. So we see the concept, this same concept that we are doing today is actually in the Bible. Paul said, I was freeborn. This man said, well, I purchased it with a great price. Now, those of you who seek citizenship, like myself, of another country, we were naturalized. But there are some people, you know, I was naturalized. My children that are born here, they are citizens by birth. So now, but either way, whether by birth or by naturalization, once you become a citizen and you get a certificate of such, well, you have rights to the benefits that are available only to citizens. Well, we come into the kingdom by birth, new birth. We also understand that in God's concept, it's the adoption of sons. He brings us in. While we are in, we are entitled to the benefits. These benefits are available to all. And I want to extend an invitation. This is the gospel. This is how we preach the gospel. And I extend an invitation to all. You know, Jesus said, go and demonstrate the kingdom. As you go, preach the kingdom of God. Tell them to repent. Kingdom of God is here. You know, about show them what the kingdom of God looks like by healing their sick, cleansing the lepers, you know, casting out devils, raising the dead even. Show them what the kingdom of God is look like. You know, that's how he sent them out in Matthew chapter 10. Verses 7 to 8. And furthermore, he said, look, this kingdom is free. Don't charge anybody anything for it. When you preach the gospel, it's free of charge. You know, this is not the high money price that you pay to get into the kingdom of Rome. That's why Jesus was saying this. If you to get into the kingdom of Rome, you have to pay a lot of money. That's what the man, the chief captain said. But Jesus said, in this case, we are giving it away. Free. Freely you have received, freely you give. That's why Jesus was saying that, comparing it and contrasting it with how they get the citizenship of Rome. He said, well, in this case, get it to them freely. Now, Once you come, though, Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, you know, everyone that thirsted, let them come, you know, and drink of this. You know, Jesus said that the water that I will give, you know, you will never thirst again if you drink it. The woman said, why am I give me this water? You know, so Jesus has something to offer that the world does not have. The world does not have the peace that Jesus can offer. You know, I mean, here's how Jesus offered his own peace. He said to his disciples in the book of John, I mean, this is just an example. John chapter 14, he said in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. So he's contrasting it now. The peace that the world gives is not true peace, he said. Just like the bread that Moses gave you was not the real bread from heaven. You know. So the peace that you get from the world is not real peace. But my peace is the lasting peace. I'll give you my peace so that your heart should not be troubled, and neither should your heart fear, even though things are happening around you that could make you to be afraid. He said, wow. You know, though the mountains swell, the swellings thereof, and all of these things around us, in this will I be confident. My heart should not fear. But Jesus said, I give you that kind of peace so that your heart should not fear. That's one of the things. Now, there are many other things that Jesus offers. So, come, he said in Isaiah 55 verse 1. Come ye to the waters and drink. If you're thirsty, come and drink. But it's free of charge. We're not charging anybody for it. Anybody that's trying to preach the gospel and charging people for it, that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hope, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy without money. Come and eat. Come and drink and so forth. Without money and without price. Jesus already paid for it. So now we dish out the invitation freely. No strings to, you know, you got to pay. You know, people that today are actually trying to sell miracles. You know, you want this kind of miracle, you got to sow this amount of seed. Well, I guarantee you, God didn't send them with those messages. The messages that God sent them with is go and preach and do these things among them. And freely you have received, freely you give. You can read that in Matthew chapter 10, verses 7, you know, to 8. So, some of the things, you know, that we have, I mean, many of the things we have, we can demonstrate to the people to give them, you know, a taste, and that, you know, inspire their hearts that they want to come. You know, want to come. Why would they want to come? I mean, what is it that we have to offer? Well, there's an this invitation given in Isaiah goes all the way to the book of Revelation, even at the end. God is still giving the same invitation. You see that in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Let him that is athirst, you know, come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of this water of life freely. It's always free, ladies and gentlemen. You know, whenever there's a price tag attached to it, get away from that. That's not from the Lord. You know, it's always free. You know, and Jesus was saying, look, the Romans, to get in there, you have to pay a lot for it, but this one is free. Now, when you get in here, though, what are the things that you are entitled to? Well, this is what you must discover. So, every promise of God in these scriptures, these are the things that are freely given us of God. But you got to know this promise. I've said time and time again on this platform that a promise is not a promise if you don't know that it was promised. If I make a promise for you and you didn't hear it or you didn't know it, well, how do you know it was a promise? Well, it's not a promise. You didn't know anything about it. You know, so you must know what God promised. It's not a promise unto you. God promised it nonetheless, but it's not a promise unto you if you don't know it. You know, so you've got to know it. That's why we got to seek these things. So let's talk about how to unlock the power to unlock God's promises is based on, number one, knowledge. So these are the benefits that we have in the kingdom. But if you don't have the knowledge, it's just having a bunch of keys and you don't know what they open. It's useless. Might as well not have the keys. So knowledge is number one. You must know what it is that God has promised. If you know it, well, it's just like Jesus said, he said, no man can come unto me, except the Father draws him. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, the devil might say, well, you are so, screwed up, that God cannot accept you. That's what the devil would like people to believe. But Jesus said, come unto me. Glory to God. John 6:37. And if you come unto me, I will in no wise cast you out. And the only reason that people will be cast out is because they didn't come to Jesus. Because, John 3:18 says, well, those that believe, they are moved from condemnation to life. But those that don't believe, they are condemned already because they did not believe and they would not come to Christ. That's what condemns them. But if you believe and you come to Christ and ask for his mercy, he will not cast you out. There's absolutely no way. He said it himself. I will in no wise cast you out if you come to me. But you must come. Now, those of you who have come though, don't let the devil tell you any other story. You have already come now. So now you begin a process of discovery. You have entered into magic kingdom through the gates. Now, go discover all of the things that are there. You are in there now. Well, discover. Discover what God has given us by freely giving to us by researching the promises of God. Do you know what they are? And we often said that, look, don't even begin to pray for something unless you find a promise for it first. And those of you who have been here for a while, you know that. So, research the promises of God. And remember, knowledge about the promises of God, not only for you to know the promise, but to be assured that those promises are not a yo-yo kind of thing. It's not, maybe God will do it, maybe not, maybe he won't, perhaps he will. No, that's not what he says. For all the promises of God, 2 Corinthians 1:20, are in Christ, yea, and in him, amen, to the glory of God by us. That's all, A-L-L, all the promises, not some, not a few, not many, but all the promises of God. Yeah, yeah, and amen. You got to be persuaded of that. Praise the Lord. And once you are persuaded of that, well, you begin to encourage yourself and search for more and more of his promises so that you can know the things that are freely given you. I guarantee you there are even programs in this country that are available to citizens that many people don't know because they don't really put out all. You don't advertise and socialize all the information. Some information is just there. It's for you to find out. people miss out on a lot of things. There may be grants, there may be different things that are available to you as a citizen, but they're not going to tell you. You got to go figure it out, and then a lot of people can't figure it out and they miss out. You know? So you got to figure out what it is that God has given us. And the keys that God has given you, well, figure out what lock each key opens, you know. Otherwise, the key is really of no value if you don't know what it does. So, the promises that God gives us, they are at best just a bunch of keys if we don't know how to use them. Be assured that what God has said, he will not lie about it. He will keep it. Psalm 89 and verse 34 says, I will not alter the thing that's gone out of my mouth. My covenant will I not break. My promises, God will stand behind them. You know, once he has said it, will stand behind it. And not only that, the power of sustenance is within the word of God itself. When God speaks a thing, it has the ability to sustain itself. And that is very important, you know, for us to know that. In fact, the Lord said that in the book of Isaiah chapter 55. He said, the word that goeth out of my mouth in verse 11, it shall not return unto me void. So once he has promised it, it cannot come back void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So that word has the ability within itself to sustain itself. It will prosper. The word of God is spoken. That word will carry out the thing that God said about it to do. And so that's it. You must be persuaded about that. If the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, you know, then, ladies and gentlemen, you need to be persuaded of that, you know, anytime sickness or, you know, something challenges your health. The Lord already said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So, you know, and you take that within your heart, believing what the Lord has already said. Praise the Lord. The same thing with any other promise. So, acquaint yourself with the promises of God. And remember what people have testified about the promises of God. Like the 24 elders. The reason they are around the throne is that they are a cloud of witnesses to tell you that, well, you know, all the time we've been here, I've never seen any of his promises fail. Joshua said the same thing in the book of Joshua, chapter 21 and verse 45. He said, look, everything that God promised by the mouth of the servant Moses, God has fulfilled. None of them has failed. In fact, all of them has come to pass. He done it. So let's read it together. You know, the Lord gave them rest, he said, round about, according to all that he swore unto their fathers. You know, there stood not a man and all their enemies and so forth. The Lord delivered them. Said, they have failed not out of any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now, you assure yourself of people's testimonies about these things that they, you know, then you know. You say, people who are citizens before you, they tell you that, look, these are the things that we're enjoying. Say, oh, yeah, you know, now, so the rights is what we're talking about. The rights of citizenship. Now, does it mean that a citizenship will not, I mean, a citizen will not have problems? A citizen has a problem, just like everybody else, but there's help. Praise the Lord. Even Solomon also gave testimony. So you assure yourself of these things when you search out the scriptures to know that, yes, what God has promised is true and he will do it. Blessed be the Lord, Solomon said in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56, that are given rest unto his people Israel. This is everything that Joshua said. He's saying it too here. According to all that he promised. that had not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Well, you know, people are giving these testimonies, encourage and assure yourself. So that's a critical part of understanding, you know, how to unlock the promises of God. That's number one step is very important. Understand how to unlock those promises. You know, you must understand how to find the promises, search the scriptures, and, you know, that's number one step in unlocking the promises. Number two, you got to put him in remembrance, right? Isaiah 43 verse 26. The Lord said, well, you know, put me in remembrance, saith the Lord, you know, and declare it again, that thou mightest be justified. So, what God already said, it's not that he forgot, but these are the principles. When God lays out a principle, if you don't do it the way he says it, you're wasting your time. God's principle says, remind me. He didn't forget, but he said, remind me anyway. You remind him as though you are in a court of law. You state your case and you say, Lord, you said this and so on and so forth. Yeah, you know, and that also assures the Lord that you actually know what he said. Because Jesus himself told his disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will remind you of the things that I said. So it was always important in the mind of God for us to remember what God said. And so Holy Spirit's role, one of his role, is to remind us, help us find those scriptures of what God already said. But when you find them, come to God, remind God of what he said. Well, you said so. Huh. Praise God. And then you build your confidence on the fact that his word never fails. You know, praise the Lord. You know, number three, you thank him for what he has already done. Enter this way into God's presence. You know, come with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Thank him for what he has done. You know, many scriptures tell us to be thankful. This is something that we forget. Be thankful. There's not a single person that's praying to God for something that has not received God's benevolence in the past. You know, so you remind God, you know, in everything you give thanks, we're told. As even you are praying, you remind God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 18. Be thankful. You know, you remind God of these things. You know, then you praise him. Number four, for his faithfulness in keeping his promises and acknowledging, you know, the power of his ability to do so. I mean, there are people in the scriptures that we have talked about, right? That said, thou art the God, Hezekiah. That's how he prayed. The very God that dwelt in the midst of the cherubims. They cast those gods into the fire because they were no gods. But you are the God. Now, show them. You see? So, you know, when you pray like that, and you use the promises of God like that, then you know what God's going to do. He's going to flex his muscles. Praise God. David, when he called God out like that, said, you are my God, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my high tower, my shield, my protector. When he says all those things, well, then the Lord will answer, blast with thunder out of his mouth and, you know, fire out of his nostrils and lightnings and so on and everything. Just answer him back like that. You know, well, that's how God will do for you too. Number five, you must have faith in those promises. You know that, you know, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Well, it's the substance of things you hope for, but faith sees as now things that are yet to come. That's faith. And God said, we do this thing. Well, faith will see it now. Praise God. And then believing gets you there. We've talked about those things multiple times on this platform. You know. And another power of unlocking, you know, how to unlock God's promises is get a hold of somebody else too that has some faith. Now, some real faith. Never share your request with somebody that has no faith. Because they will only drag you down. But find somebody that has some real faith. Jesus talked about it, right? In Matthew 18 and 19, he said, if any two of you, that's right. So all you need is one more person. Now, these are principles in the Word of God. If you do it the way he says it, you will have the results that were intended. Find somebody that has some faith that will agree with you. And two of you, you believe God. Jesus said, I will do it. Now, you know, so that's a principle. These are ordinances. These are, understand how to use the keys. You have all these promises, but if you don't understand how to use them, they will not benefit you very much. So that's something else you must, you know, understand. Praise the Lord. And then also, number seven, you are in expectation daily. You know, when you're praying for something, when you've done your due diligence, you've found the Word of God, you've reminded him about it, you've thanked him for what he's done before, you're praising him for what he's yet to do, you put your faith in that promise, you know, etc., etc., all these steps that we narrated. Well, the last thing is for you to be in expectation. Expectation is so important. The scripture says in Proverbs 23 and verse 18 that your expectation shall not be cut off. And he said, well, there's an end to it. There's an end to the weight, whatever you're going through. He said, well, there's an end, your expectation. But so you must be in expectation. This is how you unlock the promises of God. You must be in expectation. You know, so what are the things, you know, that even concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must be in expectation. You know, Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude chapter 21. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You got to be looking unto eternal life. That's your in expectation. He said, you know, my soul waited for thee, you know, even more than they that watch for the breaking of day. I mean, are you watching? I mean, are you looking? Are you believing God? Do you know that it's coming? Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, you got to believe God and you got to be expecting it. You got to be on the lookout for it. You know, check it out. If you don't see it, check it out again. Elijah, when he was praying for the rain, God already told him was coming, but he kept, you know, sent his servant, go check it out. Man said, I see nothing. Said, well, there must be something because God told me so. Go check it again. So he checked again. The man said, I don't see anything. So he went, he prayed some more. I prayed some more, agonizing prayer. Said, well, Lord, you said there will be rain today. And I heard it already. I heard the abundance of rain already. I know it's coming. He said, servant, go check it out again. The man went again. I see nothing. But Elijah, did he give up? Absolutely not. He stayed right there in prayer and he prayed that thing through. Seven times he did. And it wasn't just 1 minute prayer. Reading in James chapter 5. He prayed fervently. And, you know, after a while, after about number seven, he said, go check it out again. So expectation is important. He's always checking out, looking out. Is it, you know, it's coming, it's happening, you know. And if you don't see it, well, pray some more. Go back and check it again. Praise the Lord. So finally, the man said, ah, I see something, but I, you know, it doesn't look like much. Well, Elijah said, that's good. That's it. That's it right there. You know, that's all I need. You know, so that's it. You know, I know it's coming and that's it right there. And Jesus himself explained it. He said, look, this thing that you are believing for, when it eventually comes, it may not come all at once like a flood. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it also starts a little at a time. You know, he says, so is the kingdom of God, you know, as if a man should plant seed. You know, this man plants seed, he goes to bed, wakes up, he doesn't know how it comes or goes, you know, but this earth is going to bring forth of itself. But as soon as the thing brings forth, immediately he puts in the sickle. But what, how does the harvest actually come? Well, let's read it together. You know, it said, the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Mark chapter 4 and verse 28. And how does it come? First, the blade. After that, the ear. Next, after that, the full corn. Well, first, you see a cloud in the sky, like the size of a man's hand. Well, before you get there, you have prayed a lot, but it took a long time, but you kept praying, knowing that your expectation will not be cut off, and you are looking for it. You're always looking for it. You're always looking for it. You're praying for your children the same way. There are some powerful promises in the Word of God of how, I just pulled that out. Holy Spirit just pulled that out. Somebody smile. Praying for your children. There are powerful promises, that the Holy Spirit gives in the scriptures. It'll help you to find it. Here are some in Jeremiah, chapter 31. And it gives you a promise, but you must expect it. Here's how you do it. He said, thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah 31 verses 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping. You've been crying over that child. Maybe they're wayward, maybe whatever, Refrain your eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they, just your children, they shall come again from the land of the enemy. They're coming. You must expect it. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again. So we see he's talking about children. Come again from the land of the enemy to their own border. The story that Jesus told about prodigal son. That story was about expectation of the father. He was always looking out. Have you heard anything from my son? As his servants, go check now. They came back. They said, he's out there partying and doing stuff. He's not coming. But the man kept looking, kept believing, And one day, when his son was returning, he was the first to notice him afar off. Because he kept believing that he's coming. My son's coming home. Glory to God. So you got to believe God. They are coming from the land of the enemy. Now, that was just a sampling of how you use the promises of God. The hundreds of promises in the scriptures. A few weeks ago, we talked about, are you ready to slay a giant? Well, grab your sling and some smooth stones. Your sling is your faith. And those stones are the promises of God. Go to the brook. Find those stones. Holy Spirit will even show you which one to pick. You'll find the promises of God. But you must know how to use them. Praise the Lord. And when you know how to use them, the devil doesn't want you to know. But as we said yesterday or the other day, if you know, once you know, the devil knows it's game over for him. So he doesn't want you to know. But Jesus said, when you know, John chapter 8 and verse 32, the truth that you know is what makes you free. That's right. So it is incumbent on us, paramount, that we know, not only know the promises by head knowledge, but we know by revelation what God is saying and how to apply them. You don't want to hold a bunch of keys in your hand and you don't know which lock they open. And that's just as bad as if you didn't have the key in the first place. So now, let me summarize what we have done in this series. I think I'm done here. what we have done in this series is to talk about, you know, the concepts of the kingdom, you know, and how we get the inheritance that God has prepared for us. And how that because Christ has died, we have access to that will. Because a testator must die in order for the will to become, effective. Well, Christ has died. Not only did he die, if he had died and was never raised up, well, then we wouldn't know if God accepted that sacrifice. So Romans chapter 4 verse 25 tells us that he was delivered up for our offenses, those offenses that were under the first covenant. And then was raised up for our justification. Upon which Paul made a powerful argument in 1 Corinthians 15 that, well, if Christ did not rise from the dead, well, you are still dead in your sins. Your sins are not forgiven. And you are, of all men, most miserable. But now that Christ is risen from the dead, we have access, praise the Lord, to the redemption of our sins. We know that we are now justified by his resurrection. We have access to enter in boldly the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And we don't come with timidity. Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Thank you, Jesus. Knowing the things that are freely given us of God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a citizen, you know, may we introduce you to the benefits of the kingdom by telling you, search the scriptures. In them, there are things that pertain to all the things that God has given you. If you are not a citizen, may we invite you, come and taste and see, you know, and experience these things. And when you come in, will everything be a bed of roses? Well, absolutely not. Anybody that tells you the bed of roses, they are not telling you the right thing. In this world, Jesus said, John 16 and 33, ye shall have tribulation. You know, that's going to happen. But the thing is, we have his strength. We have his encouragement. I will never leave you. Even when you pass through the fire, you know, you're going to pass through and you're going to come out on the other side because you are passing through. I will be there with you. When you're passing through the floods, you will come out on the other side, guaranteed, because you're passing through. And I will be there with you. You know, and they said, when you pass through, not if. So, you can read that in Isaiah 43 verse 2. So, these challenges will come. We're not promising anyone, you know, a walk in the park, or a bed of roses, you know, that may be challenges, but these challenges will happen to you, whether you are in the kingdom or out of the kingdom. So, you know, these things, chance and time, they happen to all, you know, whether you are there or in or out, you will have these problems. However, in the kingdom, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the comfort and consolation of the scriptures. You know, we have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you. You have your brothers and your sisters that are praying. You have even Jesus, you know, ever making intercession for you. You know, I mean, you have, you know, access to so much. Furthermore, there are some things that the kingdoms of this world cannot offer that we have in Christ. Peace, for instance, you know, and even healing, medical science. They can't do it. They do a great job, but they can manage the sickness, can do all of that stuff. But only God can heal. And not only can he heal your physical sicknesses, he can heal the brokenhearted. He can heal your emotions. He can heal things that are even bitter in your life. The bitter waters can heal them. He can make straight the crooked places. Those places are crooked. Regardless of whether you are in the kingdom or out of the kingdom. But when you are in the kingdom, there is grace to make them straight again. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray over the room and I am going to leave it there. I invite you to on a journey of discovery. That's what these lessons were about, to inspire something inside of you that will motivate you to want to know these things. Hallelujah. So, Father, I pray over the room today. Thank you, Jesus, that everyone that has heard the word of God, well, said the will of the Father is that everyone that shall hear the voice of God and the voice of the Son of Man come to him, well, that they shall not die, but I will give them eternal life and raise them up in the last day. Well, it is the will of God also, if I may say so, that everyone that heareth these words of mine, Jesus said, if they take heed to them, it will be as if they built their house on a rock. That's right, rock foundation. The storms of life will come, whether your house is built on the rock or built on the sand, you will experience the same storms. However, there's a difference. In the kingdom, when your house is built upon the rock, it will stand. The storms will be against it, just like it beat against that other house. That one is going to fall, but they're not listening and paying attention to the things of God. Well, this house is going to stand because it's built on the rock. Thank you, Jesus. May our lives be built on the rock. The Holy Spirit is here to guarantee that. It will help you shape your future to the point where you know that your life is built on the rock. We can't deal with the past. Past is gone. But you learn from the past and you deal with the present and the future. I can assure myself of a better future based on better promises, because we have a better covenant and a better mediator when I put my life into his hands. So thank you for your children. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Thank you for understanding. Jesus said, have you now understood these things? And they say, yea, Lord. I pray for understanding these things that are hidden from natural knowledge and education and so forth. Hidden, but revealed by the revelation of the Holy Spirit unto such whose hearts are simple before him. May the Lord bless everyone listening to this. And may God continue to help you in your quest and in your search. Remember, as a promise, you know, they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. And if you seek that kingdom diligently, you will find. Because Jesus said, seek and you shall find. And not only that, all these other things shall be added unto you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.